Happy Father's Day. In honor of Father's Day today, we're going to take a look at one of the men in the Bible, life lessons of a dad, of a man, of a father. And I think that even though it is Father's Day, it's a Father's Day message, it will speak his life to every one of us. With that, we go to Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to start in verse 19. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, the sister of Laban from Aram. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. The two children struggled with each other in her womb, so she went to the Lord to ask about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other. Your older son will serve the younger son. And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered she indeed had twins. And so this morning we break down the life of Jacob. Elbow your neighbor and say, it's the life of Jacob this morning. The life of Jacob. Life lessons. And what he learned at the end. And hopefully this morning for us, it doesn't take us to the end before we get it right. And so at the beginning, there's two people, husband and wife. They wanted some kids, but they're having a little issue. Rebekah wasn't getting pregnant. So they did something good. They prayed, "God, please, help us have babies." God didn't give one, God gave them two boys. And it's very important to hear what God said as Rebekah was praying. She felt a war inside of her, and I had no idea what it feels like to have a baby inside your stomach or area, and I don't want to, but she said it was like a war inside. And so she's asking God, what's going on? And he says, the two boys in your womb are going to be enemies down the road. Your older son will serve the younger son. Now listen to what God said there. The older will serve the younger. And in this culture, this time, that's not how it works. The oldest boy in the family, he takes the father's and family's inheritance. It's his. He gets double over everyone else. Truly, supremely blessed. But what did God say about the young one? The younger baby will be the leader. And so this morning, the lesson begins with understanding. Number one, Jacob was a chosen man. He was chosen by God. And what was he chosen to do? He was chosen to carry on the purpose of the blessing of God. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to carry on something for family, for friends, for the neighborhood, why not be the blessing of God? Jacob was picked. He was chosen to carry the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. What is that? That covenant says, I will bless you. Everywhere you go, everything that you do, I will make you famous. If anybody tries to hurt you, I'm going to shoot lightning bolts and kill them. God didn't say that. But he says, if anybody tries to hurt you, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. This is his purpose. He was chosen to have the purpose to carry the blessing of God. This is his beginning. This is the beginning where everything begins. And it's really important as we stop. It's really extremely important to stop this morning. Every day, there's a beginning. Every God moment, there's a beginning. Every God moment, there's a beginning. Three things happen in the beginning. I'm chosen. I have a purpose to carry the blessing. As Jacob and his story get started, to understand his story, it's not different than any one of us in here this morning. God chose you. 1 Peter 2:9, you're not supposed to be like that. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priest. Bump that neighbor. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's own possession. As a result, show others the goodness of God. He called you out of darkness into His light. Once you have no identity as people, but now as God's people, you receive mercy. Chosen people. Jacob chosen. We're chosen. What does God call us? Royal priests. Royal priests. We're called. We're chosen. We have a purpose, just like Jacob. Like Jacob, many of us, well, what do we do knowing that we're chosen? What do, knowing that I have a purpose? What do, knowing that I'm supposed to carry this blessing? Well, one of the things he did is he learned to do things his own way. And I don't know about any of us this morning, if any of us learned how to do things our own way or his way. But as the story picks up, In Genesis 25:27, it says, as the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoors man, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebekah loved Jacob. One day, Jacob was cooking some stew. Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. Verse 31. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me the rights as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? Jacob said, first, you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau, over a hungry stomach, swore an oath, thereby selling all the rights of the firstborn to the brother, all of his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some stew. Esau ate the meal, got up and left, and then he showed content for his rights as the firstborn. Our story, we look at a man, life lessons, on Father's Day, chosen, purpose, carry the blessing. What does he do? He knows, God said before he was born to Jacob, you will be the leader. You will take control of the family. But sometimes, how many of us know when it's hard to wait for something we want? How many of us know when it doesn't seem like we're going to get there, what do? We take matters into our own hands. And Jacob, the very first person in the Bible, was called a homeboy because what did he do? He liked to stay at home. He was mama's boy. He was a mama's boy, and he loved homes. We call him the first homeboy. Esau, his brother, though he was a skilled hunter, he was tough. Physically, he was rough. He went out there killing animals for food, for pleasure, for fun. And of course, they cooked it in because they didn't, you know, back then, you didn't just kill something and let it, you know, just sit there. They killed it and they ate it. But Esau had an issue. And I don't know if this morning any of us have ever found ourselves with the same issue. He was hungry. And he was hungry to the point where he's willing to give a double inheritance. When our parents go away, we hope that we get some kind of inheritance. In the Jewish culture, the oldest firstborn gets double the inheritance. He's willing to give away double inheritance for what? So my stomach can get a little food? Hunger driving this man so out of control. Hunger that he's willing to give everything away because he's hungry. Now this morning, Esau the hunter, his issue was he was addicted to food. And most of us, let's be honest, we're all kind of addicted to the same thing. We're all kind of addicted. But have we ever allowed hunger to become so loud and so vibrant that it controls us to start making decisions for us? And maybe this morning food isn't the issue, but sometimes there's other things in life that we allow slowly, literally, to creep in, and we allow those things to dominate our life and to the point where we're willing to give away what's good for just one little fleeting moment of a full stomach. You know, we're all born hungry. We're all born hungry. And yes, God, we like to eat. But our hunger is more than just our stomach. There's a lot of things that we're hungry for in life. Attention, connection, respect. So many different things. We all, let's be honest, we're wonderful, but we are complicated human beings. We are, because there's so many emotions men and women have. Hunger, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, that we have, that all of us sometimes, some moments, allow to get the best of us. This man, unfortunately, gave away his blessing because he was hungry. Now, another coin, there's Jacob. Now, Jacob, remember, before he was born, he was promised what? The birthright. But what did he find himself doing in this situation? Taking by force. Taking what was already given. It was already promised. But he was taking it by force. See, let's take a step back and just think what God has for us. God, just like these people in the Bible for us today, God promises blessing, protection, provision, healing, all of the good things that are listed in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. When we obey, God promises obedience. When we obey, he promises blessing. All the things in here that he wants to give to his children, because he's a good dad, he's a good father. But how many of us sometimes gotta take things by force because God's taking his time? How many of us, I'm not getting what I think I need in this moment and situation, and so God needs a little helping hand. Jacob, he had a grandpa named Abraham who was promised a boy. He hadn't had any kids, 80, 90, 100 years old. What did they do? God promised them a son, but what did they do? The wife, crazy woman, she said to her husband, why don't you take my servant, Hagar, and we can have a kid with Hagar. Maybe that's how God wants us to have a baby. That's not how God said it. God said, Abraham, Sarah, will have a baby. But they couldn't wait for God. So what did they do? They said they'd take the side route. That side route destroyed their life. That side route is still today. There's wars and bombs today. Why? Because Abraham and Sarah could not wait for God. There is still war happening this present moment. Why? Because one man and one woman couldn't wait for God. Their descendants still hate each other to this day. And the result of one bombing the other one, because they're trying to destroy the nuclear weapons they're brewing. It's crazy. Still today. And how many of us have tried to force things in our own life when God's saying, wait. That's hard to wait. It's hard to wait. I want this now. There are times when God says, move. There's times when God says, go. But there's many times where he says, you need to learn to wait. Take a breath and wait. Jacob was promised the leader to have the birthright, to have the blessing. But what did he do? He decided, I'm going to take it by force. I'm going to steal. I'm going to control. I'm going to manipulate. And here's what he did. He took somebody else's weakness to benefit himself. Oh, and I hope this morning, and I know because we're all perfect people in there, but I hope this morning none of us have ever used someone else's weakness for our benefit. I hope we've never used a weaker friend or someone who's weaker, girl or guy. I hope none of us in here have ever used someone knowing that they are weak in this area, so I'm going to manipulate and control them the way that I want to, like a puppet. Because that's what this man did. Even though he was chosen, even though he had a purpose, even though he was supposed to carry the blessing, what did he turn to? Manipulation. stealing, controlling, and taking advantage of someone's weakness. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:23, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Yes, we have a choice. We can do anything we want to. But Paul says, not everything is good for you. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. Jacob's life moves on. We see that in Genesis 27, it says, one day Isaac was turned blind. This is the dad. He called for Esau, his older son, and said, my son. Yes, father, Esau replied. I'm an old man now, Isaac said, and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow, quiver, full of arrows. Go out to the open country. Hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish. Bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die. There was two things that the oldest male in the house got: the birthright and the blessing. The birthright, double inheritance. The blessing is the word, the prayer that dad would say over the oldest son, and his life would go as that blessing was spoken and prayed. Two things that the oldest male looked for. Verse 5. Isaac, but Rebekah, good old mom, overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Jacob, listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, bring me some wild game. Prepare me a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. So now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks. Bring me two fine goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies. But look, Jacob replied to Rebekah, my brother Esau is a hairy man. My skin is smooth. I use lots of lotion. But what if my father, what if he touches me? He's going to see that I'm trying to trick him, and then he's going to curse me instead of blessing me. His mother replied, then let that curse fall on me, my son. Just do what I tell you. Go out, get the goats. Jacob went out, got the young goats for his mother. Rebekah took them and prepared a delicious meal, just the way Isaac liked it. And then she took Esau's favorite clothes, which were there in the house, and gave them to her younger son, Jacob. 16, she covered his arms and the smooth part of his neck with the skin of young goats. And mom was working it. She had a plan and she was working it. Then she gave Jacob the delicious meal, including freshly baked bread. Jacob took the food to his father. My father, he said. Yes, my son, Isaac answered. Who are you, Esau or Jacob? Remember, he's blind, can't see. Jacob replied, it's Esau, your firstborn son, lying to daddy's face. I've done as you told me. Here's the wild game. Now sit up and eat so I can have your blessing. Ouch. Jacob in this story, his life, he's only making better choices after better choices after better choices. He manipulated, he controlled his brother, he took advantage of his weakness. And now what he's doing, he's getting help from his mommy, because remember, he's mama's boy. He was mom's favorite boy. Mom was not going to let him sit and not get blessed. And so together, they came up with a plan to deceive the father of the house. Look at the length and the depth they went to deceive the dad. Killed the goats, cooked it just like daddy liked, took the skin and put it on the arms and the neck. So here's Jacob. He's controlling, he's manipulating, he doesn't trust God's plan, he trusts himself, and he trusts his mama, which ain't a bad thing to do. Okay? So we ain't banging on moms here this morning. But it is daddy's day, but we're not backing on the moms. He clothes himself with deception. He takes the skin of an animal and attaches it to his own. And so now we can see the depth of the darkness and deception in this young man's heart. Because what happens, the Bible says, sin, bad choices, they start very small. Then it's grown, 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 grown until it just all explodes. Here's a man who started young, promise, hope, purpose, calling, the blessing. But he turned into a manipulator, a thief, someone who took advantage of others. And now he chooses deception. I'm going to put on the clothes of someone else. I'm going to clothe myself with deception. I'm going to clothe myself with darkness. I'm going to clothe myself with lies. I'm going to take something that's rough, and I'm going to attach it to myself. And so the lesson from Jacob this morning, this part of the story, this part of his life, be careful. You, I, we have a choice every single day what we put on. Yes, we put on clothes. Thank God, right? But more than the clothes you choose to wear every day, there's an attitude you put on. And believe it or not, your attitude, it speaks far louder than your outfit. The first glance at another human being, the attitude you display in that second, it will radiate, it will speak louder about who you are, what's inside of you, the attitude and the reflection of your heart as you greet the first human being in each day. And then as we go about our day, we run into other lovely humans. Your attitude, that perception, and that moment, it tells people exactly who you are. And it's our attitude this morning. His attitude did not reflect a good man, a good young man. His attitude did not reflect God in heaven, even though he was called to carry the purpose of the blessing, and he was chosen. He chose darkness. He chose to put on someone else's clothes. There are people that we take what belongs to other people. There are sins that belong to other people, and we take them, and we put them on ourselves. There are things, just like the goat skin that he took and attached to his skin. What other people are attached to, we allow when we're around them. We allow those things to become attached to us. We have to be careful as human beings. It's in our nature. We desire friendship and communication and connection. But sometimes in the human desires that we have, it drives people like Jacob to take what belongs to someone else. And uses deception, lies. It's not right. But how many of us know? Thank God that sometimes there's a turning point. And at this point in the story, this is when Jacob, his brother, his older brother, threatens his life because now he took the birthright, now he took the blessing, and he said, I'm going to kill you. So the mom, once again, saving her boy, she says, run. Run to your uncle, Laban. Go to his house. And on the way there, this is where he stopped. This is where our offering and our tithes and verse comes up. He stopped on the way to uncle Laban. And he has, what does he have? He has a moment with God. And what happens in that moment with God? God promises the Abrahamic blessing. And in that blessing, how does his heart respond? God, I'm going to follow after you. So his heart on his journey, on the way to where he needed to go, what happens? He has a heart change. The heart that was dark, the heart that was full of lies, the heart that was full of deception, a heart that listened to the wrong advice, the heart that didn't trust God. He only trusted himself and his mama. Again, it's okay to trust your mama. But now his heart starts to trust God. And then he gets to his uncle Laban's. Such a beautiful, beautiful story what happens to this young man. Such a beautiful. As the story goes on, Genesis 29, because how many of us know for every young man at some point in life, it's time to get married. And so we pick up this story where he meets a young lady named Rachel. And you know what he was willing to do for this lady that he went married? He was willing to work 7 years. No money. 7 years for the chance to marry one girl. And in this story, how many of us know, see, this is where life gets good. He turned his heart to God. He started to do the right thing. He falls in love with the woman of my dreams. And I'm willing to work 7 years. He works 7 years. But what happens, verse 20, it says, Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel, but his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Finally, the time came for him to marry her. "I have fulfilled my agreement," Jacob said to Laban. "Now give me my wife so that I can sleep with her." It's getting a little demanding. I guess after 7 years, he deserved it, right? 22. Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood. He prepared a wedding feast. But that night, when it was dark, here comes Uncle Laban, and he took Leah to Jacob, and he slept with her because he's a dummy. He didn't realize he had the wrong girl. Laban had given Leah's servant Zilpah to be her maid, and when Jacob woke up in the morning, it was Leah. "What have you done to me?" Must have been really dark there. Really dark. No stars, no moon. The tent had no candles, so it must have been really dark. And they must have worn the same, you know, deodorant and everything. He says, "What have you done to me?" Jacob raised the lid, and "I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why have you tricked me?" So Jacob, even though he turned his heart to God, what did he start to feel? The pain of his past. He wronged his brother. He stole the birthright. Even though it was promised, he manipulated someone, took advantage of someone, and now what does he find himself in? A situation where someone is taking advantage of him. He worked 7 years for the woman of his dream. 7 years. And to wake up in the morning and find out, "I had the wrong girl." My gosh. I'm surprised he didn't kill the guy. Many of us in here, we probably would have tried. Galatians 6:7. "Don't be misled, because you can't mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy themselves will harvest decay and death. But those who live to please God will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." His heart was turning towards God, but he still had to pay for his past. You know, thank God that we do have a graceful and forgiving God. But when we make mistakes, and this morning, if any of us have a past, like he had a past, we need to make sure that we are on our knees and begging and pleading with God, "God, forgive me for all the things that I did bad in my life, for all those people I made fun of, all those rocks I threw at people's houses and cars." Not me, other people. "God, forgive me for all the times that I said things and I talked about people when I shouldn't. God, forgive me for bad choices." And if any of us this morning have had a past like Jacob, I encourage you and I say, ask God to forgive you so that he has mercy on your past. Jacob, unfortunately, he did have to deal with it. For Jacob, his life had just kept getting better. He had to work another 7 years for the woman of his dream. So 14 long years. 14. For one girl that he wanted. He only wanted one, but he ended up with four. He only wanted one, but he ended up with four. And he was willing to work 14 years for the woman that he loved. After 14 years, he was working for his father-in-law, Laban. His father-in-law had become blessed because this was, remember, Jacob who carried the blessing of God. And so everything that Jacob was doing was being blessed by God. And his father-in-law became rich and powerful because of Jacob's work. Because everything Jacob did, it turned out right. It turned out good. And so this man became super wealthy because of Jacob. Because he carried the blessing. Because he knew now his purpose. He knew who he was. He was chosen. He was called to carry this purpose and the blessing. So he says to his uncle, "Hey, I've worked for you for a long time. What do I get? Yes, I've got two wives, and believe me, I'm thankful for them. And they're two, you know, side hustles, so they now have four. But anyway, because I'm thankful for all that. But what else do I get? What else do I get?" And so they made a deal. He was going to start eating livestock. But when he started getting livestock, you know what he resorted to? He started playing a little trick on his uncle so that his uncle would get the damaged livestock and so that the healthy livestock would be under his care. he resorted it back to when he was younger and he was taking advantage of people. How many of us have had a past and we did make some bad choices? And then things got a little better. We started behaving ourselves a little bit more. And then he had a moment to set things and do things right. But what did he do? He resorted to his past, where he played tricks on his uncle. And to me, the consequence from this one, it didn't happen to him directly, but down the road, his sons, he had 12 sons, the quiver was full, the house was definitely loud and active. 12 sons, you know what they did? They went through and they killed and murdered an entire village. The stain, the hurt that Jacob felt as a father because his sons, this town, they did something wrong. One of them in there took advantage of their sister. So of course they should be upset. Yes, they should go in there and maybe, you know, take the one guy who made a mistake and put him on trial. But they decided to kill everybody for what they did to their sister. Jacob paid the consequence of carrying the weight of innocent blood being shed. The weight of Jacob, the consequences. See, it kept on repeating. He kept on going to his past. He kept on drawing from the past. When I need something in the present, he drew from the negativity from the past. This is how I got it done in the past. This is how I'm going to get it done now. Many of us make these kind of decisions daily when we are faced with situations. We're faced with what I want to do today, faced with where I want to go. How am I going to keep myself occupied? How am I going to bless myself? How am I going to do this? We either draw from the good things or the bad things from the past that determine the course of the present. Jacob, this man, he dealt with this stuff over and over and over again to where his heart, he saw his kids do something you never want to see your kids do. Many of us make horrible mistakes, but how many of us know when you see your kid make those mistakes, it hurts twice as bad? Twice as bad. Because now you see your kids doing the things they shouldn't be doing. Jacob leaves his uncle. He takes his wives. He takes all the kids. They run away. Jacob spends a whole night, since he has a wrestling match with an angel. Whole night long, they're wrestling, they're fighting, they're elbowing each other. After 12 hours of wrestling, he gets up and he can barely walk because his head was touched by the angel. He meets his brother. He asks for forgiveness. Forgive me. He makes things right with his brother. And then, to me, this is the most important part of the story and text in Jacob's life. Today, happy Father's Day. Life lessons from a man who made a lot of wrong choices, but at some point, he started to make the right choice. This is where Genesis 35 picks up. God said to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel. I want you to settle there. Build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in his household, get rid of your pagan idols, purify yourself, put on clean clothes. We're now going to Bethel, where I build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me everywhere I go. Verse 4, so they gave Jacob all their pagan idols, their earrings, and he buried them under the great tree. As they set out, a terror from God spread over all the people of the towns in that area so that no one attacked Jacob's family. And eventually, Jacob and his household arrived at Luz, which is called Bethel, which means what? The house of God. Jacob built an altar there and named the place Bethel, which means God of Bethel, because God had appeared to them when he was fleeing from his brother's house. It took him a long time to get to this point in his life where what? He set things straight. He listened to God. God says, this is where I want you to go. So number one starts with good listening. Not listening first from the world, not listening first from what we see. The very most important part of life is learning to listen to God above. And God said, I want you to go to to my house, the house of God. And so he turns to his family. Interestingly enough, God didn't give him a long list of instructions, but what did he do? He turned to his family, and these are the instructions he gave to his family. I want you to take the pagan idols, because believe it or not, they had pagan idols that they stole from their dad. His wife, the woman that he loved, she stole articles from her dad, idols that were worshipped. All of us in this world, we look for something comfortable to worship. Someone, something that makes us feel comfortable. Something that makes us feel right. And for them, in the old days, it was statues. Whether it was the god of the sun, the moon, the stars, fertility, whatever it may be, they had a god for everything. Because to them, that was their comfort, that was their choice. And so the first thing that Jacob does is he says, I want you to get rid of every single thing that is comfortable in our life. Every single thing that is not right, everything that is separating us from God, we're going to dump the junk and we're going to bury it in the ground. Where did it start? Started with listening. Secondly, where did it go? We're going to lead ourselves back to the place where we need to be. But where does it start? Get rid of the crap in your life and bury it in the ground and leave it. And then he says, purify yourself. Their kids, his kids, did horrific things. And their minds needed to be cleansed. They went through a whole valley and murdered and killed people. They had blood on their clothes. They didn't have good wash machines and tie like we do today. Their clothes were stained with the reminder of the sin and the hurt that they administered to other people. So very important instructions. Remember, start with listening. I'm getting direction from God. Turn to his kids. Dump the junk. Dump, clean the reminder of the stain of blood that you have on yourself. Wash it away, and it's time to move forward. Because so many people, we get stuck in the past. I'm sure out of 12, there had to be a few who felt bad for what they did. We just murdered a whole town. I'm sure there's some who late at night said, I can't believe I killed that innocent little boy. I'm sure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 felt horrible for the actions. But we're never going to get in our head. We're never going to get to the point where God needs us to be. We can't let go of the past. The good from the past and the bad from the past. God needs us to let go of it all. You're never going to move forward if you can't let go. There are good and bad from the past, both alike. So many good things happen from our past, and we celebrate that. We celebrate all the good things that were accomplished in the past. But sometimes we hold on to the good too, like it's our lifeline. I remember when, and this good thing, and this thing that, you know, changed my heart and did this to me. Sometimes the good that we're trying to hold from the past, I remember this good moment. I remember when life was, so perfect, peaceful. I remember that. Sometimes that good moment is destroying your present and it's keeping you from a better future. Because you can't let go. We have to continue to let go of good, of bad, of the past, to be able to enjoy the present, to be able to soak in the present, and for God to give the future that he so wants to. So what did Jacob do finally as a father? He said, I'm going to listen. We're going to get rid of everything that is separating us from God. We're cleaning, we're dumping the junk. We're giving our lives to God. We're going to change these dirty clothes. We're going to put on new clean clothes. And then what did he say? We're going to the house of God. You know, Hebrews says, don't forget, don't neglect the house of God. Hebrews 10:24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially the day of his return is drawing near. Church isn't just a comfort, good, warm, cozy feeling. You know, the writer of Hebrews right here, the picture that he painted, life is a war field. And we're lucky, us this morning, that we live in heaven, so well protected, so well guarded from the rest of the world. And when there are parts of the world, every day, you have no idea if there's going to be gunfire or missiles coming to destroy your family and your house. We live in a beautiful place. Yes, there's weird things going on right now. There is. But I guarantee it's way better than what's happening over in the Middle East. Because in the Middle East, there's a war that's been brewing, that's been going on. And you know what it's doing? It's bringing the end of the world. It's bringing the end of the world. And eventually the world will come to an end. And so the writer of Hebrews, as he says, don't forget meeting together. Don't forget to come to church. It's not to get warm, fuzzy feelings. It's not to come and, we're a blessed club, and we just come to church, and we clap, we sing, we pat each other on the back, and then we say, see you next week. The writer said, you come together because you have to motivate one another. You need to inspire one another. You need to do good things for one another. Because we all come off a battlefield from the week. And this is the picture that the writer described in Hebrews. Life is a battle. Life is a battle. And so sometimes we come to church and we've got battle wounds. And there's scars from the battle. The week that we face. The words that we said. The words that were said to us. So when you step into the church, the writer said, don't forget. Motivate. Encourage, inspire everyone to do their best so that when they leave here, you're ready to fight, then you're ready to give your all. Jacob, it took a long time for him to get to this point in his life to where he finally started leading his family in the right direction. The man who finally said, no more, this is where we're going. These things are going to stop. This is where we're going. We're going to the house of God. Jacob took a long time to learn, but he did it. Just like for some of us men, it takes us a long time to learn. Some of us are slower than others, and that's okay. We all learn at our own pace, right? But he finally learned. Let's not let another day pass for all of us, not just men. All of us, because I know from Jacob's life, there are lessons we have to remind ourselves about. There's things we have to continually dump. There's things in our life that we have to continually push ourselves towards. And lastly, this morning, as we start to wrap up, I end with a story. And this description, to me, is the best description of our Heavenly Father, which is Luke chapter 15, starting verse 20. As the prodigal son returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love, compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him. He kissed him. He said to his son, Father, man, I've sinned against you. Both heaven, I've sinned against God, and you. I'm not even worthy. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Kill the cow that we've been fattening, because we need to celebrate with the feast. This son of mine was dead, but now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. And the party began. So most of the service we spent on learning life lessons from a man named Jacob. But I want to end, I want to wrap up with a story with one of the greatest pictures of who our Heavenly Father is. There's a story in the Bible, Luke chapter 15, called the Prodigal Son. And there was a son who came to his dad. He was tired of waiting for money because he knew his dad was rich. And when daddy died, he's going to be able to have money. And so he said to his dad, is there any way I can get my inheritance now? Which basically you're spitting in your dad's face. You're saying, can you be dead so I can just get my money now? Can you hurry up and die? Can mom run you over with the truck so I can get my money now? Dad, broken, hurt, said, I'll give you your inheritance. And he gives it to him. The son goes away. What does he do? Makes bad choices. Just like Jacob, even though he had a good home, even though he had a good upbringing, what did he do? Made bad choices. He spent it on girls, partying. And you know what happens when you make bad choices? One day, they catch up with you. He lost it all. He lost it all. Couldn't find a job. He had no money for food. Had no money, so what did he do? He had to find a job. And you know what kind of job he found? It was the absolute, as a Jewish man, the absolute worst job in the whole wide world. It was touching, feeding, cleaning pigs. Jewish people don't like pigs. They're dirty. They're stanky. Get away from me. This young man in the story got to the bottom of his life. Got to the very bottom because he knew this was the worst of the worst. But sometimes, for some reason, humanity, it takes us to get to the worst, to get to the bottom, before we look up. And this is where the man in the story looks up and says, man. He goes, you know what? My dad's employees, they're actually paying good money. They got their own place to stay on the ranch. They eat way better. I just want to eat pig food. That's the only thing I have to eat right now is pig food. Because when you're in sin, believe it or not, that's what you're eating, pig food. But anyway, he says, man, if I just go home, maybe I apologize to Dad. Maybe he'll accept me back. And so he gets on his journey. He sets off. And this is where the picture of God the Father, our Father, who is in heaven, holy is his name. This is where he sees his son. And you know what it says? Says he waited on the porch every single day. So he wasn't attending to all the normal dad responsibilities. What was he doing? He was patiently waiting for his son to return. Every waking moment, I hope my son comes back. I hope my daughter comes back. I hope they make the next right choice. I hope that they decide to do what's right. Every single day, patiently waiting. And the second thing the father does is one day as he sees the son come up, his son, says he runs to his son and he hugs him and he kisses him. In this second picture here, there was two things that the listeners that Jesus was talking to that made the people in the group that jumped. They were freaked out. They wanted to close their ears. And the first one was that the boy, the Jewish boy, worked with pigs. And they're disgusted. And they're ready to like tell Jesus, stop talking. And then secondly, as Jesus painted this picture of the father, it says that the father ran. Now we know today, us men, we like to run. And our bodies show it, right? These dad bods. But in this day, you know what? Jews don't run. Male, adult, Jews, you don't run. You know why? Because it makes you look foolish. And if some of us run right now, we look foolish too. But anyway, Jewish men did not run because they looked undignified and they looked foolish. So we see that God our Father patiently waiting. When our hearts make bad choices, God said they're waiting. I know you're going to turn around. I know you're going to get out of this. I'm going to sit here and wait for you. I know you're at some point you're going to turn. You're going to come back to me. And the minute our heart turns back to him, what does he do? He runs, looking foolish, humbling himself, looking undignified. I am willing to look stupid, he says. I'm willing for all my friends to look down on me and laugh. I'm willing to be the next joke at that barbecue. I'm willing to look so dumb. Because in this moment, the only thing I want to do is show love to my boy. Man, God, you know, he blows my mind. God blows my mind because some of us, how many of us, men and women, we will not let go of pride to humble ourselves. We will not let it go. I'm not willing to look foolish or stupid in front of anyone, and that includes my kids. How many of us, in certain moments, it's the right time to humble ourselves. It's the right time to be foolish. It's the right time to look undignified, to show love. And you know who steps in every time? God does. God does. You know, we take a stop, a break for a second and ask ourselves, how many of us, you know, had moments where we realized, you know, when we were young, all of us looked at our parents and said, they are so perfect and beautiful, you know, Superman and Wonder Woman. But how many of us had moments where we looked at our parents and said, you know what? They're crazy. They're crazy. They're crazy. Man, those choices they make, and they're affecting me. At that moment, that's when God says, listen, you don't get better, you don't get angry, you look up to heaven and realize all of humanity is broken. All of humanity. Parents make bad mistakes. Some of us make less mistakes than other parents. But all humanity is broken. And so who needs to step in? God does. Because who is He? He's our Heavenly Father. If we didn't have a good portrait of a Father, then on earth, we do in heaven. If we didn't have a good portrait of a man or a woman and what it's meant to be and what it meant to be and what it meant to look like, we may not on earth, but we do in heaven. God in this moment painting the picture of a perfect Father, because He's the only one. He steps in humbly, undignified, with so much love, grace, and mercy. And the biggest thing that He does next, which blows all of us believers away, He embraces His Son. Remember, He stinks. He is stinky. He doesn't, the very first thing He does not say to His boy is, you go get in the bathtub, dude. You reek. He hugs. He kisses. And then He says, go get My robe out of the house. The most expensive thing of clothing in the house. Go get My best. Because My Son's back. And My Son deserves My best. Even though He's dirty. Even though He's stinky. And let's be honest. What we do as humanity, it's no, you clean yourself up first. You change before I accept you. Many of us, we're bothered by other people's personalities. We are bothered and we are judgmental by how other people live life and make choices, which is the opposite of who God is. God doesn't say clean up first. God doesn't say change your clothes and wash your mouth out. He doesn't do those things. What does He do? I love you. I love you. I'm going to accept your dirtiness right now. Don't worry, I'm going to clean you up later. Sandpaper and all. But I accept you right now. And God in this moment embraces His Son, and He gets the best robe in the house, which is His. So I'm taking My very best, and I'm placing it on My boy. He takes a ring and He says, put it on My Son. Because all authority that is Mine, I'm giving it to My Son. And then He says, take some sandals, some Birkenstocks, put it on His feet. Because people who are poor, they don't have shoes. People who are slaves, they didn't have shoes. Shoes represented that you were part of the family. And He says to His Son, I love you. Here's My best for you. Here's the authority that I have for you. You are My family. You are My family. This is our Heavenly Father. As we wrap up this morning, a couple things to soak in. Understanding, you know, because humanity is broken, some of us did not get from our dads what we needed to. And you know what it caused many of us to do? We look to another human being. If you didn't get from your father on earth what you need to as a man, as a woman, it doesn't give you the right to try and find it in another person. The only correct place to find health, healing, and fatherhood, it's in the Word of God. I promise you this morning, where many of us grew up with broken situations, hard situations, remind ourselves, I'm not going to be angry, I'm not going to get bitter. Yeah, maybe childhood was crazy. Aman. But right now, like Jacob, remember some point in his life, he stopped making bad decisions about the past, he embraced the present, and said, we're only doing this for God now, family. God became his dad, his heavenly father. And the heavenly father is the only one who makes us right. He is. It's God isn't a crutch. It's not a fairy tale that when we die, we get to go to heaven. That has, yes, a part to do with it. But humanity, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, no human is 100% correct until God is correctly in us. And that's it. God, our Father in heaven, so different than many of us, patient, giving, caring, loving, forgiving when nobody else will, stepping in when nobody else wants to step in, willing to be humble when the rest of us choose pride. God steps in. And so as we end today, Father's Day, let's make the choice. Let's not be like Jacob, hard lessons, let go of the past, embrace the present, and make better choices for the future. God has something great. As Jacob was chosen, purpose to carry the blessing, so every one of us do, we as well. We have that choice. We have that purpose. We are called to carry the blessing as well. But the choice, it's up to us. And like Paul said, listen, can we say to ourselves, I can do whatever I want? Sure. But it doesn't mean everything's right. Can we do whatever we want? Sure. But what we say, not everything's beneficial. We have to be careful. The choices that we make, because they do affect us now and later. Happy Father's Day.